is Chasing Checkers. Your sports live here on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. Did you come into the qualifying session thinking you had a shot at the pole?
This guy did. He had all the confidence in the world, and he said, this is what we're going to do. So we just set out to the plan that Jim laid out and had a really good practice and being able to put some good time on the car and maybe learn a couple things and make the speed that we needed in order to come out here and sit on the pole tonight.
Yes, oh yes, racing season is back. Welcome in to Chasing Checkers here on 102.5 The Game. I am Chase McCabe. That was Kyle Busch. He will lead the field of 41 to green Sunday in the Great American Race. But we are oh so excited to be back for another season of Chasing Checkers. We're going to be doing this every week, and it's going to be a lot of times on a Friday at 6 o'clock. Leading you into the race weekend. So we're excited about it and are going to be doing that moving forward. If you miss anything, if there's not conflicts, you can hear a replay on the weekends. Plus, you can just subscribe to Chasing Checkers wherever you get your podcasts. You can go and listen to that. But excited. Racing is a passion of mine. And, you know, now that there's a lawsuit behind them and you got exciting things like Ram Trucks coming back into the truck series and Tony Stewart is going to race tonight because that's coming up here in about 30 minutes. There's just a lot to be excited about when it comes to racing and not the off the track stuff. So that is going to be really cool. But for the first time in his career, Kyle Busch is on the pole for the Daytona 500. Which is really neat. He's driving for Richard Childress Racing, which is fantastic. And, you know, they've got a history of poles here at Daytona. But he's looking for his first Daytona 500 win. Could he do it from the pole? That could be really neat to see. And I think what's interesting is a lot of people that aren't Kyle Busch fans might look at him as a sentimental favorite coming in to this race. So here's how it goes when it comes to the lineup for the Daytona 500. Chase Briscoe qualified on the outside pole. Joey Logano won duel one. Chase Elliott won duel two. Then it's Ryan Blaney, Carson Hocevar, Austin Dillon, Kyle Larson, Brad Keselowski, and Michael McDowell in the top 10. Now, originally, Anthony Alfredo in the number 62 qualified for the Daytona 500 by racing his way in. However, he is not going to be in the race because he had his time. His position in the race was disallowed due to a failure in post-duel inspection. So he does not make it. Again, there'll be 41 drivers that do. But unfortunately, he will not be one of them. Jimmy Johnson got in. Corey Heim got in. And Jimmy Johnson was going in on the promoter's provisional. Justin Allgaier got in as well. Casey Mears also got in the number 66, which is pretty cool. Start number 495 for him. So that's kind of how things are going to look. But, you know, I mentioned the duels. And I thought it was interesting that Joey Logano was asked about the Fords being pretty unstoppable because they were all working together. But was that all part of the plan?
It's never one thing in any form of motorsports or any type of track. You know, I think what you've seen there is, you know, some good teamwork. You know, I think, you know, you've seen RFK kind of all just get in line together. And they were pretty committed to each other. You know, and Ryan and I kind of had our thing going on. And, you know, as much as it looked like we were all working together, it's kind of like, you know, I never really seen an RFK car most of the day, right? We may be side by side, but, you know, I was kind of working with the 12 most of the time. And just because it happened to be that way, it just worked out that way. And, you know, Ryan did a great job. You know, those are all the, you know, there's always a plan when the race starts and everyone always says, well, the plan's the plan until lap one. Right. But for us, it goes throughout the race. And, you know, the plan worked all the way down to the end there to the last, you know, green, white checkers.
Spoken like a true racer. He's never going to truly reveal everything that's going on. And, that of course is why Joey Logano is a three-time champion, and he has won the Great American Race. Can he do it again starting third? I mentioned Chase Elliott. He won his duel. He'll start fourth. And he talked after the race that he was able to learn quite a bit that he might be able to apply on Sunday.
There's a lot of good stuff in there, I thought, honestly. And I think that was large in part because it got pretty aggressive and fast at different times, which was really good. A lot of times you run this race and, you know, it's not the craziest thing and the energy level is not super high and the pace doesn't get super fast, but I thought it did tonight at different points in the race. So, you know, unfortunately I spent, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, but spent a lot of time like leading, you know, either leading the outside lane or in some pretty good spots, like down on the bottom, you know, just not in super vulnerable positions with the car. And when I was, you know, a couple of those times, I thought that we could make it drive better. So I was really happy that we found ourselves in a couple of those spots at different times, just to have an idea, you know, of what to expect Sunday from a balance perspective. And then certainly the, you know, the track is going to be much warmer. The grip level is going to be way down. You know, like everything about tonight was just best case scenario from how the car drives. So just realizing that the worst situation you were in tonight is, you know, going to probably double, you know, on Sunday, if not worse than that. So, yeah, all kinds of good little nuggets in there that I think will certainly apply.
And I do like Chase Elliott. You know, you think about things that he hadn't accomplished in his career, and he's still pretty young. He's won a championship. The Daytona 500 is certainly one of those things. And I believe he's going to have a really good chance of winning on Sunday. But the thing is, it's kind of a wild card, because I think a lot of these guys are going to have a chance to win on Sunday, including the pole sitter Kyle Busch, who has, you know, had good performances there in the past, but he's never been able to get the win. He talked more about how he feels he had the chance he has, and also starting from the pole.
I think it's a huge boost. You know, I think bringing Jim on board and having his passion and determination of what he's done all off season long, and leading his group of guys, and you know, having them all believing in him and putting our faith in what he's got to do for our team, and being able to give us what we need to go out there to succeed. So this is just a first step of it. I mean, this is the beginning of the year, first qualifying attempt of the season. There's a whole heck of a lot more that we've got to do throughout the season to be good, to be real, to be contenders. And you know, but it sure feels good in the moment right now. So a lot of hard work behind the scenes with everybody at RCR, everybody at ECR. And, you know, it feels good to give this guy another pull down here, and love nothing more than to make history and put ourselves in victory lane Sunday night.
So that's Kyle Busch after sitting on the pole. The odds right now, the favorite is Denny Hamlin at +900. This is from DraftKings. Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, and Ryan Blaney are all +1,000. William Byron at +1,400. Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott at +1,600. Brad Keselowski, Christopher Bell at +1,800, and Austin Cindric, a former 500 champion, is +2,000. So if you feel like making a wager, that could be kind of where you go there. But excited about it. I think it's going to be a fun race. Ultimately, I'm going to give my pick. I think Kyle Busch gets it done. I don't know why. I just have this weird feeling that he's going to come down there, win it from the pole, and ultimately get the W, and that would really be everything that the Hall of Famer would need to accomplish in his illustrious career. I mean, think about that. He's won two championships, all these races. He's trying to get to, I think, 1,300 starts, something like that, in his career across all three national series. It's pretty remarkable what he's been able to accomplish. But we'll see if he can win the Great American Race coming up on Sunday. Coming up here in a few minutes, though, the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series will start their season. They qualified earlier today, and it will be Ty Majeski in the number 88 truck. He will sit on the pole with Michael McDowell, a Cup Series regular, running for Spire in the number 7. He's on the outside pole. Tanner Gray, Carson Hocevar, another Cup guy, Grant Imfinger, Tyler Ankrum, Caden Honeycutt, Jake Garcia, Giovanni Rodrigo, Ruggiero and Chandler Smith is the top 10. Christian Eckes is one to watch. Cletus McFarlane and the number four is one to watch. As he's in it, Travis Pastrana is running this race. And the return to NASCAR, Tony Stewart driving 15th in the number 25 for Colleg Racing in the Ram. He is the highest starting Ram in the field as they make their return. His teammate Justin Haley will be 16th. And by the way, shout out to Clay Greenfield, who's running that Backyard Blues Pools Chevy. He's obviously from the area. He'll roll off 17th in that 95. So a nice run for him. And Dawson Sutton, another local guy with that Rackley War team, will roll off 20th in the 26. So we got a couple of local guys that certainly we're going to be cheering on in the truck series tonight. So looking forward to that as that is coming your way here in just a few minutes. But coming up next, Tim Califamo, who's going to be on the call for Motor Racing Network all weekend, including tonight. He is going to join us coming up next as we get you set for the Daytona 500 weekend. This is Chasing Checkers, the season premiere, right here on 102.5 The Game.
You're listening to Chasing Checkers on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Welcome back into Chasing Checkers, 102.5 The Game, here on this Friday, and the NASCAR season is underway, as we have been talking about. The Daytona 500 coming up on Sunday, the O'Reilly Series tomorrow, and the Truck Series coming up in just a few minutes, and we are excited about all of that coverage, and to talk more about that, Tim Califamo from MRN, the Motor Racing Network, that's the coverage you're going to hear, joins us now. Tim, how you doing?
Good to be with you, Chase. Excited for tonight's race. Should be a really good show, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, and I mean, for you, having done this for a few years now, it can't get old walking into Daytona for speed weeks, knowing that the season is about to get underway.
No, it certainly doesn't ever get old. It's a special feeling. I remember the very first time I came down here to Daytona several years ago. It was a special feeling. I had butterflies in my stomach, and there was something about walking on, if you're a race fan, what feels like hallowed ground at the Daytona International Speedway. And each and every time we come back, it's you get the same feeling, and it's just a spectacular place. It's a spectacular racetrack. It's beautiful. It's a world-class facility. And yeah, every time you come here, there's just something special. It just has that extra glitz or glamour as opposed to the other races throughout the year. It's just a very special place.
We know that Kyle Busch is going to lead the field of 41 to green for the first time in his career, taking the pole for the Daytona 500. He's looking for his first win in the Great American Race. He's with Richard Childress Racing. There's something special about that. Could this finally be the year that Kyle Busch really checks off the last thing of a long Hall of Fame career checklist?
Well, he's certainly gotten things off to a good start, getting the pole for the Daytona 500. It's certainly a big accomplishment, not so much, I think, for the driver, but for that team, Richard Childress Racing. Poles are won at Daytona and a lot of on the super speedways in regards to what's under the hood, the manufacturing, the aerodynamics. So that's a huge confidence booster for the team itself. And for Kyle, you mentioned the fact that this is something that has kind of eluded him over the last several years. It's eluded him all his career, a win in the Daytona 500. I think he's got as good of a shot as anybody, but it's a long race. 500 miles, a lot of things can happen. Some things are out of your control, but he certainly has taken the first step forward in achieving that goal this weekend.
I think you know that, you know, for many, many years, there were a lot of people that you either loved Kyle Busch or you hated Kyle Busch. There was no in between. And I think for some fans that probably still exists. But I also feel like with his move to Richard Childress Racing, he's not as dominant as he used to be. He's trying to help Richard get this team back to where it used to be. I feel like he may have gained some fans and he could be a little bit of a sentimental favorite going into the race this weekend.
You know, I think you're correct. I think the tide has started to shift in regards to how the fan base perceives Kyle Busch. When he first started, as you mentioned, he was very much disliked. A lot of people liked to root against Kyle Busch. But I think as Kyle has gotten older now, and we've seen this with a multitude of different drivers over the years, that initially when they came into the sport, they weren't very well liked. But as they got older and became more veterans, if you will, of the series of NASCAR, they kind of warmed up to the fan base, and the fan base kind of accepted them more. And I think that's what you have now with Kyle Busch. Yes, he certainly is not putting up the numbers that he did earlier on in his career, but he's still a very talented driver. And in the eyes of the fan base, I think that shift in as regard to him having a more positive outlook from everyone that's in the grandstands, I think that really started when he went to Richard Childress Racing. And that has kind of continued over his time at the organization. And it's not something that's unusual. Like I said, a lot of drivers over the years have had a change as far as how they're perceived by the fan base. But yes, certainly, I think that there has been a warming up to Kyle Busch. There's still plenty of people that don't like Kyle Busch, but I think he is much more well-liked now later in his career than he was when he started.
Tim, what's the vibe around Denny Hamlin? Obviously, he's been through a lot with the lawsuit and the business side of things, and then the personal side of things, losing his father, his mother being injured in the fire that took his father's life. And you know, he's been open, he's talked about it, but you can definitely tell that all of that is still very much with him. Now that he's back at the racetrack, he's back in the race car, what is the vibe around Denny Hamlin?
Well, I think that certainly it's an understatement that Denny's gone through a lot this past 3 or 4 months. You mentioned the loss in the championship race, of course, the lawsuit, and then what happened with his family, a very tragic and unfortunate situation. I think that what Denny, I think, is going to find, hopefully what he's going to be able to find, is when he gets behind the wheel of the race car, that maybe that can be, in a way, some therapeutic driving, or in a way, a little bit of therapy to help him recover from all that has happened. I think Denny is a terrific race car driver. I think he's an incredibly strong person. He's somebody that has a lot of opinions and is not afraid to voice his opinions. But nobody, you know, is going to be able to go through what he's gone the last 3-4 months well. And I hope that doesn't affect him. I think that once the season gets going, we'll have a better idea of how he's going to be able to persevere and push on. But Denny is a fighter. He's a terrific race car driver, and I think that he's got what he needs to be able to move forward. It's going to take some time, and I know that there's a lot of people in the NASCAR garage, a lot of people in the NASCAR community, while they are competitors, while they are racing against Denny Hamlin, they are pulling for him, and they are expressing their sympathies for everything that he's had to go through the last 3-4 months.
We know that everybody wants to run the Daytona 500, being the special race that it is. Dale Earnhardt Jr. and his sister Kelly have fielded for the second year in a row a cup car for Junior Motorsports in running the Daytona 500 with Justin Allgaier. He's in the field. I mean, to me, it's just special to have an Earnhardt associated with the Daytona 500, especially this year, being 25 years since the death of Dale Earnhardt.
Yeah, it's always special to have an Earnhardt as part of the Daytona 500. You mentioned Justin Allgaier driving for Junior Motorsports. He and Junior Motorsports fielded a car last year for the Daytona 500. They were able to race their way in. They finished in the top 10. I actually spoke with Justin earlier this week, and I asked him what this whole process has been like. Does it get any easier? Do you feel any less pressure this time around? And he told me he doesn't. It's still a very high-pressured situation because you have that Earnhardt name attached to your ride. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is not, of course, behind the wheel, but he is a owner of Junior Motorsports. And as a driver, when you're an individual like Justin Allgaier, that adds pressure because you want to be able to satisfy a large swath of the NASCAR fan base that are still Earnhardt fans. They were fans of Dale Earnhardt Sr. They're now, of course, still fans of Dale Earnhardt Jr., even though he has long since retired. So there's a lot of pressure on Justin Allgaier, but he's got a terrific race team. He's got a really good car. Like I said, he finished in the top 10 last year, so I think he's a good sleeper pick, if you will, for the 500 on Sunday.
So obviously he is going to be in contention on Saturday for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series race, but can anybody stop Austin Hill? Austin Hill has been so dominant on these super speedways. We talk about Richard Childress Racing getting back to prominence in the Cup Series. They've done a pretty good job in the now O'Reilly Series.
Yeah, Austin Hill, he's been really difficult to beat the last several years. I think it's a combination of the team, Richard Childress Racing, and the fact that Austin just is really good on these super speedways where the draft plays a role, where you're running in these big packs. Not just him, but if you look at the last couple of years with Richard Childress Racing, his teammate, Jesse Love, has also had success on a lot of the super speedways. So that organization in the NASCAR O'Reilly Auto Parts Series has been really tough to beat. And I don't really have a good answer as to how the other teams are going to be able to go out and beat these drivers. They're just going to have to find a way, because the last few years, Austin Hill, Richard Childress Racing, that organization in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series has had the speedways, the super speedways, really kind of covered. And they have got this tremendous program, and they're unstoppable at this point. So they are definitely going to have to be the team you're going to have to contend with on Saturday for the O'Reilly Auto Parts race.
The Craftsman Truck Series race is coming up here in just a few minutes, and all eyes are going to be on Colleg Racing in the debut or re-debut of the Ram brand as the fourth manufacturer in the Truck Series, which includes Tony Stewart making his return to NASCAR. Is there pressure on Colleg Racing to perform with Ram coming back, or are they going to get the benefit of it's a new manufacturer and they're going to have to kind of dip their toe in the water and see how things go?
Chase, I think it's a little bit of both. I think there's pressure on the organization to perform, just like there's pressure on any organization to step up to the plate and to run well, especially when you're fielding a new organization. But there's going to be some growing pains, just like anything else. So I think it'll be interesting to see how the season progresses with that entire organization. It's always exciting to have a brand new manufacturer in the Truck Series. You mentioned the fact that Tony Stewart is going to be part of this for a one-off race in Daytona. So there's certainly going to be a lot of eyes on that team, on that organization. We'll just have to see how they fare in this race tonight. But I think it's a little bit of both. Like I said, they certainly have got what they need to be competitive. But with a new manufacturer coming in, with a lot of eyes looking at them to see how they are going to undertake this brand new team, so to speak, I'm sure there's going to be some growing pain. So that's going to be a storyline we'll be following throughout the course of the season.
In your mind, who is the driver to beat in the Truck Series? You've got so many that have moved up, or you obviously have Ben Rhodes, who's returning, a two-time champion. Christian Eckes is in the series as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of young talent. Does anyone stand out going into Daytona to watch for the full season?
You know, some of those names that you mentioned are good choices. I think it's really a jam-packed field of drivers that have a lot of talent. You know, I would look to Christian Eckes as being someone that I'm really curious to see how he's going to fare this year. He's had some increasingly good performances and has gotten better the longer that he has been in the Craftsman Truck Series. But now, of course, this year, 2026, a brand new year, brand new opportunity, brand new season, I would say he's a driver that you're going to be interested to watch his progression throughout the year. The last couple of seasons, it had been Corey Heim. Of course, Corey Heim was the most recent champion in the Craftsman Truck Series. He is no longer going to be running in the Truck Series, so now it's an opportunity for someone like a Christian Eckes to possibly step up to the plate and see what he can do. So I would say I would keep my eye on him going into the 2026 season.
Tim, great stuff. We're excited about it and excited to hear your coverage on the Motor Racing Network coming up throughout the weekend. But thanks so much for joining us today.
Of course, Chase. My pleasure.
That is Tim Catafalmo. You can hear his coverage on MRN. He's going to be in the turns for all three races this weekend at the Daytona International Raceway. And you can hear all of that right here on 102.5 The Game. We're about to turn things over to the Craftsman Truck Series, the Fresh from Florida 250. Tomorrow, you can hear the United Rentals 300 starting at 3:30. And then as soon as Vandy Baseball is over, it'll be right before the green flag on Sunday, you can hear the Daytona 500 on 102.5 The Game. That is going to do it for the season debut of Chasing Checkers. Thanks for joining us. We're going to be here with you every week, usually on Fridays at 6 o'clock. We'll get more of a permanent schedule going as we go along. NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series Racing is next on 102.5 The Game.